Hello and welcome to Kicking Tires. My name is Jimmy.
And I'm Justin.
And today is March 16th, and we got actually a lot of European vehicle news. There's a little bit
Ironically.
of, there's a little bit of electrical stuff. Not all of it, actually. But let's get started with the first thing, which is BMW's brand new vehicle. They call it the i7, or supposedly it's called the i7. Not like fully released yet. They release five photos of what it can potentially look like. What you can basically know is it's going to have a ginormous front grille. It literally looks like a pig snout right in the front. And very slim LED headlamps. So think of it,
It's a
think of,
squinting pig.
yeah, so think of like Angry Birds, right? When you hit the pigs, they get angry and they squint a little. That's basically what this looks like. So it's so similar on the front to like the iX, which is of course their electric SUV. So this whole i7 thing, of course, is supposed to be their flagship sedan. They're gonna release also a 7 series as well, because that needs to be updated, and they're gonna release a gasoline version. But like just. I mean, of course, we can't really tell exactly what it'll look like, but from the pictures that it shows, this doesn't look all that pretty. it's just not the best looking thing. Especially because of the second photo where it's
I
like.
don't think it's any worse than the IX.
I don't
I'll
think it can
say.
get worse than the iX, other than the that M1. I forgot what that one's called.
Yeah.
Was it IM? No, it wasn't IM. That's a Scion.
XM.
XM, yeah, that.
See, the XM. Okay, the XM is ugly, but it's kind of cool in some ways. But it's the they messed up the back too much. But that one had potential, which maybe they'll fix it on production. It's not common for BMW to fix anything, but this one I think is better than the iX because it simply has more presence, right? Like that's why the X7 can. We all hated the X7 when it first was previewed, and the more you look at it, the when you see it in person, you're like, okay, it's got some presence. The huge grill, and this one has a more muscular shape to go with this grill and the squinty eyes, so it looks I think it's better in my opinion.
Well, we'll have to wait to see exactly what the full car will look like. But something that they are showing off is there's could it be this flip down monitor behind the front row seats? It's a 31 inch wide screen that flips down from the roof. So like a typical van, how it had a flip down screen before, this is basically that for the second row. I don't know if this implementation is better than what most automakers are doing with the screens in the back of the front seats or not. But I mean, it's something, I guess. It's something
I
a little
like
different.
flip down because it keeps it higher up, right? Like, whereas if you have it on the back of a headrest, it's more susceptible to like glare, I want to say. Depends on how it's structured. It looks bigger than that. It looks bigger than 30 inches because it looks like it's almost the full width of the two seats.
Yeah, I mean, within the blurb, they're saying that they're aiming for about 300 or so odd miles, which is going to be the same as the EQS. So, I mean, that's where they're competing, right? They have to compete with the EQS. But I think they're going a little bit different in terms of their direction, because in the photo of the screen, you can kind of see the dashboard a little bit, and it's very similar to the iX dashboard where they have. So a regular screen and not that EQS full, like basically this enormous screen in front of you. So it's a little bit different there.
Yeah, I think obviously they're keeping in mind the other competitors too, right? Like the Rivian and Model X still, I guess, and whatever will come after a Model X. I feel like Mercedes has been building their EVs like not to really compete with anything necessarily. Like they're just kind of doing their own thing and they're banking on, you know, people want a Mercedes product and we have to give them something in this segment. Whereas this is kind of pushing the boundaries a bit. It's more of a departure from, I don't know, other BMW products and other EVs, which could be a good play for them.
It could be, or it could be something that hurts the brand entirely. So, well, we'll have to wait and see about that. Something that we don't have to wait and see is the, well, it's Alpina. So Alpina was finally kind of just incorporated within the BMW group. I think this was like last week. Let
Yeah,
me see.
early like Thursday, last Thursday.
Yeah.
So BMW's acquired Alpina officially. So I mean they've been working closely together for a very long time now, over 5 decades they said. And yeah, they've, you know, Alpina's modifying BMWs for a very long time. And basically, you know, the final assembly has always been done by Alpina, and it will still continue to be that way. So an Alpina is still an Alpina. I don't know how it is with AMG. Is AMG just making the engines nowadays?
So if it's a true AMG, they still have people making those AMG engines, but the rest of the vehicle is just on the production line.
Yeah, whereas this is like BMW's starting it and then Alpina finishes, is kind of my understanding of it.
Yeah.
And I mean that's how they like nothing is really changing there, but you know a lot of people brought up you know interesting points regarding this acquisition, which is BMW just trying to buy this brand to keep it alive, keep it a thing, because if you leave Alpina to its own ways, they're gonna have a hard time to survive when we're only going to have electric vehicles, and that's within a very near future. That within a decade or so, everything is just going to be electric. And there's just not that much you can do from an Alpina standpoint to be a standalone, you know, boutique company, I guess, that, you know, at that level is that you're going to see, you know, with Tesla, right? You see small companies tuning them, modifying them, developing parts for them. But this is very different. This is like, as a boutique manufacturer, there's only so much you can do with electrification. So I think that's kind of, it kind of makes sense. And they're kind of incorporating them kind of how Mercedes incorporated AMG. It's a trim line, which obviously they have M though, right? Like it's always been M versus AMG. This is, you know, Alpina is obviously more on the luxury side than M. So it's kind of their middle tier luxury brand, right? They have Rolls-Royce up at the very top. And Rolls-Royce, industry-wise, is, you know, it's number one,
Basically the
basically.
king, yeah.
Yeah. And Alpina is going to slot basically in between the BMW products, which are kind of luxury products already. And this will be, you know, more exclusive, which I think that's kind of like how Maybach became. You know, they were
Yeah.
kind of doing their own thing,
It really didn't work for him.
and then now they're just kind of doing like tarted up versions of Mercedes, which is still nice. Like I still like some of the products they put out, and they do seem more special than your average Mercedes because, yeah, like S-Class. It's perfectly nice and all, but anyone can go out and buy one, I guess.
Yeah. What I'm afraid is in the future, if we're gonna see like, you know how we have the full on M car and then we have like the M Sport versions?
Yeah, and performance.
Yeah, I'm just afraid like will there be like a Alpina kind of dumbed down version of Alpina? So like you don't get the full B3 version of Alpina, you get I don't know what they'll call it, but like just a like a watered down version, but you
B
still get
line, like an F sport.
exactly like you get the some bits out of it, but you don't get all of it. So like
Yeah,
maybe
some
they'll
of the
give you like
look.
the wheels and then the stripe on the side, but you don't get any of the suspension tuning, the additional engine stuff. That's what I'm kind of afraid of, because it'll just kind of dilute it a little bit and just make Alpina. It's a whole thing with, like, people putting M badges on non-M cars, right? It kind of dilutes a little bit of the M experience. People with M3s or M2s or M5s are like, that's not a true M car. I have a real M car. So I'm just curious if, something like that will happen in the future. Yeah. But that's Alpina. Let's move on to Aston Martin. This one's quite exciting. At least it is for me, I think. I don't know how you feel about it, but the Aston Martin released the brand new V12 Vantage. It's the finale to the Vantage itself. It looks amazing, and of course it has a V12 heart. So let's go over the looks a little bit first here. Obviously, you get different wheels. They're 21-inch wheels. You get this, like, scooped, scalloped hood, which looks super weird, but, like, really aggressive. You get this giant hockey blade that's on the side of the vehicle, and a pretty substantial wing on the back, and a diffuser as well.
Yeah, I love the aerodynamics. I wasn't sold on this generation Vantage. I just didn't think it looked cohesive compared to the old one. The old one was one of the best looking cars of all time, I think. And this one just a little bit cheaper looking, a little bit sloppier. But this V12 version, the aero, everything ties it together. I think it has more going for it than the regular one. Like, even though it's more aggressive, it somehow looks more cohesive as well. I like the grill especially
The
because.
front grille is bigger and wider than before, to let in more air, because the V12 does require quite a bit more. But a little bit about the Aston Martin itself. So the V12 is the 5.2 V12. It is twin turbo. It makes 690 horsepower and 524 pound feet of torque. That's made it to a ZF 8 speed. Of course, it's rear wheel drive only with mechanical slip diff on the rear. Carbon ceramic brakes, over, like in the for the all four sides, that saves you 51 pounds. And there's also a full stainless exhaust as well that saves you 15.8. So you get actually quite a bit of weight savings when you go with this specific version of the V12 Vantage.
Yeah, and I, you know what? I just looked up the normal Vantage, and I looked up the Roadster, and it just looks like an angry Chrysler Sebring from 2004. Like, I don't like how low that grille is, and the big difference with the V12 is the grille is now integrated into the bumper. The bumper is not just someone cut a huge hole into it. It's so much more elegant despite being angrier. Yeah, the regular one just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I have to admit, I brought up the picture that you're talking about.
Yeah, there is something about that car that looks like, oh, this could be a concept drawing for the Sebring back in 04.
Yeah, that grill does not look good at all,
The
eh?
car just doesn't have the aggression to pull off such a grill. Now, I will say one thing about the V12 as well as the normal Vantage, which is the stance is a little bit odd. Like, it's a little bit too tall. The tires are oversized, I want to say. It's just visually, like, especially from the side profile, you feel like the visual weight of the car is very high up, almost like a rally car. Just where, like, the middle line and where the fender cuts in relative to the C pillar is very, there's a lot of body in between the roof and the top of the wheel arch.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It doesn't have the elegant lines that the previous Vantage has.
Yeah, because, like, the old car used to look like, the wheels were wrapping around the car. This looks like someone built a car on top of the wheels.
Yeah.
But No, it's still nice, and yeah, I love how they completely reworked the Arrow. Like, it looks like a different car. It's a completely different car.
No, I have to agree that the whole front end looks super aggressive. The hood, I gotta say, how it actually just cuts in there, it's super weird because it's not an area that you normally would see a cut. I'm sure there's some sort of extraction that's gonna be going on there for like the underhood temps, but it just looks super weird because it looks like there's a hood and then there's another hood. Like there's two, like stacked on top of each other. So this looks a little funny, but yeah.
Yeah, because the black painted section is so big. It's the whole width of the windshield, so
Yeah, if you look from the top down, it's the entire thing.
yeah,
It's, yeah.
it's almost too wide. Like, I feel like it should line up with where the windshield ends, like the A pillar. But
Rather than right off to the edges.
it's about 3 or 4 inches too wide, and it could be better, but I'm not complaining.
No, I'm not complaining either. I think this just makes the overall car so much better. Like I think the regular Vantage, we think it's elegant because it's an Aston Martin, but really it wasn't. It has that kind of Ferrari effect on it, where you're like, oh, it's a Ferrari, it's so sexy, it's so pretty, but really it's like the ugliest Ferrari that you've ever seen. Like that's kind of how I feel
Yeah.
about the regular Vantage.
No, and oh, speaking of Vantage, I drove one last month and it was the worst car I've ever driven. The first, not even that old. It was a 2012, so it had the updated engine and the updated transmission, automatic transmission. The manuals are supposed to be fine, but the automatic was disgusting. Like, if you've driven a Smart 4.2,
In no way was that bad.
it is worse than a Smart
Oh
4.2.
gosh.
It's genuinely worse than a Smart 4.2. It shifts just as slow, but it will jerk even more because it's got so much torque. So it's like sometimes when you're driving manual in a car you're not familiar with, you let the clutch out a little bit too fast and a car kind of bucks. It does that. And even the 4.2 doesn't do that. It bucks once, but this will buck like four or five times. It was I don't know, the previous generation, get the manual. With the current generation, get the V12.
Makes sense. Actually, I mean, if you're gonna get the last one, you can still get that with the V12.
Yeah.
But you can't get the V12 with the manual, I think.
Yeah, but any of the manual ones are okay with the previous generation, is what I'm saying.
I mean, you know what? I think if you are gonna get a previous one, you can just have it sit there. It can be leaking oil, it can be like non-functional, and I think it's still a win just because of how beautiful the previous one looked.
Yeah, interior, exterior, everything about it.
Yeah. Moving on to something just as pretty is Audi. I skipped a topic. I'm sorry. I'm going back a little here. This Audi has released another concept. They are pushing every single concept at you. But this one, you know what? Just like the regular A6, it looks like it's going to be something that they can do. So this is the A6 Avant e-tron concept. We saw the A6 concept a few months ago. I mean, it's super elegant. It's really, really nice. Was it an A6 or A7? I can't remember. But it's a super elegant and super nice. But this long roof wagons, and every car enthusiast lusts after long roof wagons. It is such a pretty car.
It's so big. It looks massive. Like,
It does look big.
even more so than the current A6. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure the dimensions are, kind of similar to the current vehicles, but it's such a beautiful vehicle. We'll likely never see it here in North America. We might see like one with body cladding lifted up a little bit because that's the only way to sell wagons here. But it's, I don't know. I'm loving it. I'm
Yeah,
absolutely loving it.
I do enjoy this look. It's if you haven't seen it, just Google A6 e-tron. It is really nice, and it's a departure from, what we the typical scaled up, scaled down Audi. I think there's actually a lot of like really cool styling in this car.
Like the taillights.
Yeah, and just like the roof line, like there's more going on here. Like the back end doesn't even look Audi. If you took away the Audi badge, you wouldn't really think, oh, this is just
Yeah.
another rehashed Audi product. Whereas even the RS6 that everyone loves right now, even that just in many ways is like, oh, this is a scaled up version of an A3.
There's a
Like, just
picture.
being honest.
There's a picture here of the A6 with the guy. I don't know how tall he is, but
He looks confused, like, did I design?
but he. Like the car does look massive in this one photo next to him.
The car is massive because look, the concept is low to the ground, but
Right.
I don't know if they will actually make a production car that low. And so if it has the same proportions but lifted up an inch or two, it's gonna be like it's gonna be huge.
Yeah.
It
I'm
looks like
sorry.
it will hit everything too. Like as you're entering any driveway, it will destroy its front bumper. Like it's just, and then as you go over a speed bump, it will scrape down the middle too because it's just that long.
It's fine. It's fine. It's worth it. It is. It's the side profile of this is so clean. It's so elegant. It has this little stripe that's on the bottom of the sills, and that goes towards the rear bumper. Like it's such a fluid line there. I absolutely love this. Please make it, and please make it affordable so I can buy one.
Oh, this is gonna be a six-figure car for
Yeah,
sure.
absolutely. It's not affordable. I know that 100%, but I can dream. I can dream. I like how they're using the silver accents, because I'm sure Audi, all like their S products, they have like silver door mirrors, the sills. They have this along the entire roof line to the rear wing, which just looks cool.
Kind of reminds me of the Audi Pikes Peak concept Q7 back in
Oh yeah.
the color scheme, at least.
Yeah, except that turned out to be a full-blown SUV based on a
Yeah,
Touareg.
I remember I had one in Gran Turismo that was like had a top speed of like 230 miles, but
That
you
sounds
could tune the
realistic.
crap out of it. Yeah.
Audi's they make good concept.
Oh,
That's the statement.
this looks production ready too, right?
Yeah, so from what I was reading from like other like auto magazines and whatnot, they say that it's very likely this car will come to production at the end of 2023. So not bad, not bad. And of course, being an electric car, it should be nice and easy to live with, because that's how Volvo wants to kind of revamp your way of living. So Volvo, they're investing quite a bit of money here into 60 charge point fast chargers, so DC fast chargers, in at least 15 Starbucks locations. So what they're hoping to do here is they're like, hey, while you charge your car, get a coffee, go to the bathroom, relax a little. But what's kind of weird on this is they also show you a map of these charge points. It's just between Seattle and Denver.
No California, because
Like,
no, yeah. The whole
what?
state of Nevada and California is drawn. I don't know,
It's
it's very specific to things.
a very specific route. I don't know how many people are going from Denver, Colorado to Seattle that often. Like Seattle, I get because that's home of the Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
Denver's, like, Volvo is not from Denver.
No, I get it. It's just because these areas are EV, I think they're EV ready parts of the states, but they just don't have as much infrastructure. And so I guess that's why. Like, California is flooded with charging stations, but parts of Idaho probably not, right? Like, that's probably why they want to invest this technology. But it's not like only Volvos can use it,
No, not at all.
right?
So this is charge point chargers. So anyone that can use DC fast chargers can charge here. Even Tesla owners can do it because Tesla owners, it's an adapter from the DC fast charge into this honking thing, and you plug it into your car. So it really is for everyone. So I mean, it's a good thing. It absolutely is, because you can never have too many chargers,
I
right?
wonder how that will work out. Like, is there a perk that, oh, if you're a Volvo driver, it's a cheaper rate, or if it's free,
Maybe, maybe. Oh, definitely not
probably
free.
a few thousand K of free charging when you have a
Maybe,
Volvo.
maybe just initially so that you can try kind of thing.
Yeah,
Yeah,
because
that would
you
make
gotta
sense.
have reasons to incentivize putting this money in, right? Like,
Yeah.
they are Volvo. Well, it's not even Polestar, actually. It is just
It's
Volvo.
just Volvo.
Yeah, if you think about it, like, I feel like Polestar is a brand that they want to push. But it seems like at every opportunity, they're trying to separate these two brands as well. Just they want you to think that they're two different entities. Like, whereas, if this was, say, a Lexus charging station, they would always have Toyota and Lexus.
Yeah,
They would
they
be
would
more,
definitely put the two together.
yeah, or a Honda Acura station. This is just Volvo. Yeah, I love DC fast charging. Like, a lot of people don't realize how good it's gotten, and like with anything, like an Ioniq, a Volvo ID4,
Well,
get really good charging.
you definitely do if it works. So
Yeah.
that's the biggest thing. The
Electrify America.
Electrify America and Electrify Canada has been getting a lot of flack for their DC fast chargers not working. So who knows, right? That's the biggest thing right now is while they're putting up all these chargers, a lot of them don't tend to work. Like here
Well,
in BC.
that's just, new technology kind of thing, right? I
Well, I don't
think.
even know if it's new technology. It's just like the charge station is just broken. It says you it requires service.
Yeah, it's just, because it's relatively new and it hasn't been adopted as strongly, there isn't like servicing that is as frequent, I guess, to make sure these things work. And I think it just comes with time, but at least the technology is there that it's already made electric vehicle ownership a lot more
Easier.
feasible.
Yeah.
Whether it works or not, that's one thing, but like the fact that you can is important.
Yeah. No, I do
Because
agree.
making it work, like, you can't keep going back to that, because like making it work is not that difficult. It's just that they're not that on top of it, the people running these things,
Yeah.
or maybe they don't have the budget, they don't have the manpower, but the technology is great. And yeah, it's Tesla's supercharging is also a mess too. And there's no like really good queue system. That's a lot of people have been asking for that, is just like better lineup kind of system. 'Cause it's just you'll go there and then you'll see one guy just circling like a vulture, like waiting to
To
snipe
snipe a charger,
a
yeah.
charger. Yeah. And yeah, it's the same stuff. Like, you're gonna have these kind of weird cultural phenomena that happen at charging stations now. Especially like, yeah, at a Starbucks, you're gonna get a few Karens there, and it's bound to be. Like, there's gonna be drama, there's gonna be TikTok, there's gonna be World Star videos at charging stations in a
WorldStar
very,
still a thing?
I don't know, but people will still shout it. People will still shout it. Yeah, but you're gonna see drama pop up at all charging stations. And I don't know why people think, oh, Tesla is like such an end all be all because of their charging network always, when really there's just as much
Yeah.
shit going on.
What a here in Vancouver, there isn't enough DC fast charging within the city anyways. I mean, I get it, in the city you probably won't need a DC fast charger as much, but there really isn't. Most chargers that's out there are level two chargers. And they're split level twos as well. So I was at Market Crossing. I was the only person charging. I get 7 kilowatts. When another car pulled up, it dropped me down to 3. If I'm doing 3 kilowatts an hour, I could be plugging at home, like for 120, it'll be exactly the same. Okay, maybe not, but like it was just depressing charging there, because as like I was sitting in the car, I wasn't doing anything, I was just editing. And then the other guy, as soon as he plugged in, I saw my time jump from like a few hours to like 20, I don't remember exactly how much, but like it was a long time, and I was like, I give up, I just go home. There's no point. There's literally no point for me to stay here. But yeah, that's the even level 2 chargers, there's still issues with. But I guess that's with any electrical like
That's with
systems.
the fuel pumps. Oh my God. The other day I went Friday night, and there was a, well, it was pretty cheap, 195 for 94 gas. And oh my God, this
195 is
was,
pretty cheap.
yeah, for free, like it was those premium for the price of regular fuel. Yeah, and I was there for half an hour. Right?
Jeez.
Like people are like this stuff doesn't happen with internal combustion. It absolutely does.
It certainly does. It's just a
Yeah.
little different, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on to Accra, because we did the podcast last Wednesday. This dropped on Thursday, so we just missed it. So Accra dropped all the information for the next generation Integra, the 2023 Integra. And you know what? I think they did a good job here with the overall unveil and all the information. First, they got rid of that yellow color. Really didn't work. It really didn't work for them.
Heritage.
Heritage from one generation. It really didn't work for them. And then they dropped all the, like, oh, it's a Integra in DC5. So like in the press release and the video on this, they have like the old Integra, the first generation
Yeah,
Integra,
like
the one that people
don't
forgot
really
about.
care for like DA or
Yeah, because this is what that Integra is supposed to be, the higher end Civic. It's not a DC2R, a DC5 replacement. It's
Yeah,
not.
I think we talked about that. Is that like people
We
don't understand what an Integra
definitely
is.
did, but they finally came to their senses and did marketing right here, and that is what I'm praising them for. So let's go over it. It's the brand new Integra, just like we thought. It's gonna have the 1.5, no 2 liter engines here. No super handling all-wheel drive. Yes, it is a CVT on the base engines. You can get a 6-speed manual on the top trim. There is a limited slip diff when you go with that 6-speed as well. All of the trims have the exact same 1.5, 200 horsepower power plant. So there's no difference if you pick the CVT or the manual trans. So if you're in the market for a Honda Civic Si, but you don't want to drive manual because whatever reason, you can buy an Integra because that's exactly the same,
Get
and
an
you'll get a
open diff CVT version.
you can get an open diff CVT version of a Civic Si.
Oh, but you can't. Can you get a hatchback Si?
Not an Si hatch. You can get this the regular
Exactly.
hat. You can get a regular hatchback. And the regular hatchback has a slightly detuned motor that only has
Yeah.
180 horsepower. So this, you get more.
Yeah, this I think it is a decent look. Especially not in the yellow color, like in the silver gray color that they posted. It
The
looks
silver,
good.
the blue looks good.
The blue
Like,
looks good, yeah. And it's like if you want an Si hatch, this is probably the way to do it.
yeah.
Looks better than the Honda hatch for sure. Like
Okay, so I just had the Honda hatch, and I actually am starting. It was growing on me throughout the week, like the Civic sedan was. I don't mind it as much, but I like this more because just from the proportions, I would think that this would have a bigger trunk.
Yeah, possibly. It's probably not significantly so. I will say the interior, I wish they did more with it. Like, it, I look at that and I just see a Civic.
Yeah, so the interior is, from what I can see, it's essentially a Civic. There really isn't a lot of changes in here. The only addition to the Civic is there's a heads-up display on the top trim. So on the A-Spec tech package, you can have a heads-up display, which you cannot get on a Civic. That's really the only difference here. I mean, some people will be like, oh, you got aluminum pedals on here. Big whoop.
Yeah.
You know, that's whatever. You get, I don't recall if you get cooled seats on the front of this. Let me see.
Here is my confusion, though, is this is going to start at around 35,000 Canadian.
Yes.
Who is going to buy an SI? Because an SI doesn't look any different from a normal Civic Sport.
There is a problem with that. So
the Civic SI is 35,000 as well.
It's 33.
Okay. 33. So it's within like $1,500.
Yeah. So
where you could get the higher end car for no more money, because they can't price this thing any higher because it will eat into TLX price.
So people are estimating, and I'm thinking that the base Integra would be 35k Canadian, and the top A spec with the tech package, you're looking at 40. That's where we're thinking, just because of that's where it makes sense. But we're thinking it could be a little bit higher with the A spec tech package, just because of everything that it does offer. But comparing this to a Civic Si. In the States, anyways, the States, you don't get a Civic Si with heated seats. We do. In Canada, we get heated seats. We get a heated steering wheel. They don't. But the one that the Integra kills isn't the Si. It kills the hatch. Because a Civic hatch touring is 35K.
To be fair, this has got the 7-inch screen.
Right,
which is a little bit small.
It is a little bit smaller rather than the 9-inch unit that's on the top trim of the Touring, and you get wireless CarPlay with that. But I mean, if you really want that stuff, if that's only 5k more, the Integra will still be a better value,
and it looks better. I think like, okay, because like a lot of people are like, yeah, looks are subjective, but I think objectively, if you were to ask, you know, 30 people, which one do you think looks better, block out the badges, just, you know, what do you prefer? I think most people would prefer the Integra. Now the SI has adaptive suspension, which you don't get until you
SI go... does not have adaptive suspension anymore.
Oh, anymore? Yes,
they took it out for the 11th gen.
Oh,
only the Integra A-Spec has the adaptive suspension.
Oh.
Yes. More reason to get...
to get an Integra. So, Integra. Because I thought, okay, is the base Integra not as sporty as an SI? I don't see why it wouldn't be.
I would think the suspension tuning is very similar to the SI.
I don't think they spend that kind of money anyway.
Why would
But you can't get the 6-speed unless you get the A-Spec
top trim
or the tech package.
Yeah,
like A-Spec tech package.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's how they're like kind of justifying the Civic Si is still like a bargain version of the Integra, which it was before. So you still get that option. The Integra will be slower simply because it is going to be a heavier package. So, I mean, does that really matter?
How much heavier could it really be?
It's hard to say, but I would hope they would put a little bit more sound deadening in it. I mean, it's not like the Civic gets loud, but it's not as quiet as like a Mazda 3. So I would hope with the Integra, it's quieter to make it a little bit just more compliant on the road.
Fair, yeah.
But when I was driving around in the Civic Hatch last week, I had troubles thinking up why the Civic Hatch would be a good value, especially with this coming up.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing for me. At 35,000 versus this top spec speculated at 40, it was really hard to say why you wouldn't pick up an Integra.
Yeah, I think at 40 this makes a lot of sense, right? Like it's the power number is not impressive in
Doesn't,
2023 numbers, but it feels fine.
but the power is the peak number that's not impressive. But the
Yeah.
power band is actually really good.
It's solid. I drove one of the new SI with the K tuner now. And it's decent, but it's still because my Type R is stock, so it's still a fair bit slower than a stock Type R,
Oh, for sure.
like noticeably. The power is not as strong as something like a GTI.
For
That's
sure.
what I noticed. Which
Oh,
means it's not going to be as strong as the A3.
I'm happy that you brought up GTI. GTI Autobahn Edition, mid trim, 35K. So the base Integra is the same price as the GTI. Now you say, okay, Acura is like higher end, GTI is your higher end, right? You get less power in the Integra. You get more in the GTI. I would say the GTI's interior materials will be equivalent to that of the Integra because GTI looks really good.
Harder to use,
Maybe a
but
little harder to use, but you'll
just
get
as
used.
nice.
I think infotainment, when people are like, oh, this is hard to use, for journalists, you're getting into it for a week. Most people are getting into it for a week. Sometimes you might get like a long-term tester or whatever, but people that are in a car for a week and they're like, oh, this is hard to use. I don't know where the buttons are. Like if I gave you a brand new phone that you don't know anything about, you test it for a week, you're gonna say exactly the same thing. But for someone that's been using it for a year, they're gonna love it. So I take that with a grain of salt, right? I'd never like whenever I'm reviewing a car, like yes, it might be harder for someone initially to use, but over time, it's fine.
And you know what? It probably even works better than the Honda Acura system, because Honda Acura, like the layouts, the infotainment UX has not been that bad, but they have absolutely been terrible with their speeds. Like I saw someone make a video with the 11th gen Civic, and they're filming from startup to when you can actually do anything with the head unit, and it was almost 30 seconds. Like sometimes
Yeah.
it's faster, right? Like that's the thing, but there's times where you get in, you start the car, you start driving, and you're still waiting for it to boot up.
Yeah, in the code I did find that it was a little slower. My tester actually was quite buggy. To the fact that my wireless CarPlay sometimes it connects, but then it's just super laggy, it's super slow. But then I restart the car and it's fine. So it was something that's within the car that was just an issue. I didn't have that problem with the regular Civic sedan, so I was like, okay, whatever. But I think the GTI system, I mean, I played around with the ID4, which is very similar. I don't think there's really that much problems with it, other than the controls are a little different than most people are used to.
I think the Germans generally, like, their systems are a lot more fluid than any of the Japanese manufacturers. I don't
Yeah.
know. Maybe it's just me. But that is one thing. I don't know. The GTI seems like it's still more fun. After
Oh,
driving the
absolutely.
SI, so I drove an SI, the new one, with the tune, and to me it's just like it's kind of quick. Like if you want to drive manual, that's still the car to get. Because it has a pretty good shifter. It, again, not as good as a Type R though. Not as good as a Type R. But WRX.
The new WRX, people are
Every
saying
no
it's
one can get over the rear end. The rear end is ugly.
people are saying it's pretty disappointing. So I don't know. I mean, I haven't driven one, so I can't say. What I do like about the Civic is it drives like a light vehicle. It's nimble in a way that, because it is a lighter vehicle, it just feels a little bit more playful, which I did enjoy. I know GTIs in the past were generally they feel a little bit heavier. So that may be a kind of a deciding factor for some. But this Integra at the price that it's at, I think it's gonna hurt Civic sales, but itself it's getting hurt by other people, namely the GTI.
No, I think they priced it at a good spot that it is still competitive with the GTI. Whereas if they had priced it at 40 plus to start, it's there's no chance.
No, at 40, there's no way, because at 40, a little bit more can get you that TLX. Then there really isn't a point to get you into the Integra, because the TLX starts with a good engine, and here in Canada at least, you get super handling all-wheel drive as standard.
Yeah, and I think yeah, honestly, yeah, 35, I think a lot of people are going to be eating their words because so many quote unquote car enthusiasts were crapping on this generation Integra. And I think we did say that, this Integra, it's not all that bad when we previewed it, when Acura first teased it.
When the yellow one
And
came out.
yeah, the yellow was not a good choice, but everything else around it, like, it made sense. And now that the pricing's out, it makes even more
Oh,
sense.
sorry. Pricing isn't fully out. They are saying that it
Speculative.
starts, they're saying it starts at low 30s, which generally translates to about mid 35s. And that's what Acura Canada has said. It's going to be start mid 30s. So we're speculating that it's 35.
Yeah, because mid-30s doesn't get you that much these days. Like a base RAV4, or like
The
it's
Corolla Cross that I have is super expensive in comparison.
Yeah, there's a lot worse you could do for mid-30s, I think, than an Integra.
Oh, never mind. The Corolla Cross is 34.
34, yeah. That's basically mid-30s.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there. It's right in line. And the car is so much smaller than this. This will hold more. It'll be more spacious.
It doesn't feel as cheap. If you're paying mid-30s like that, this car feels a lot more expensive.
We'll talk about the Corolla Cross when that time comes, but it's not that bad on the inside. I actually
It's
was
not bad.
I was super surprised when I got inside. I was like, okay, so the Corolla Cross I have, it's your favorite exterior color. It's a green with a beige interior. So it's like, it's perfect for my age group and older. but because of the beige, it actually looked kind of good. That's just me.
Yeah, I like the soft text.
it's a good combination. But let's close this off with the review. So this week I posted the BMW M240i. So, I mean, super controversial car. Some say it's ugly. Some say it's absolutely hideous, but it's faster than an M2 in a straight line because it has all-wheel drive, 382 horsepower, same power plant as the Supra. I mean, there's quite a bit to love about it, but you gotta just love the looks.
Yeah, I think the back end again is what everyone gets hung up on. The front, I think everyone likes. The rear in the darker color looks fine. It doesn't look amazing, but it looks fine. It's fun. It's fast. It's practical. As far as two-door coupes go, like this is probably the most practical one you could get, and it's genuinely fast.
As a 2+2, like at least there's back seats. Unlike a Supra, you can't fit anything in the back,
Yeah,
and the
you can
trunk
barely fit in the front of a Supra, let alone the back.
and the trunk space is tiny on the Supra as well. I mean, yes, it's a hatch, but you only get like the middle section. The sides
Yeah.
are completely blocked off.
One suitcase is about the max.
And you get good visibility as well because the windows are relatively larger.
Yeah, they're very upright. The 2 series always and the 1 series hit very, it's a very tall, stubby car. I like a lot of what they've done with this Generation 2 series. I don't think it's, again, it's one of those things. The more you look at it, the more it grows on you. And
I think that's with like a lot of BMWs, right? I mean, okay.
they're always pushing the boundaries of what people makes people gag, and eventually you like it.
Like the mid 2000s, the Banner
Bangle butt.
Bengal 7 series and 6 series. No one liked them back then.
It
But
looks
if
so
you,
good now. An M6?
right?
Oh,
You look
M6
at them
coupe.
now and you're like, man, those are some stylish cars. And it's not just the exterior, the interiors.
Yeah.
Because CarWow posted a video. I don't know if you follow them or not. I think it was this morning that they posted. They had the 7 series, they had the S class as well as an LS 430, all from the same
Oh,
era.
the LS looks so dated.
The LS is super dated. The S class is super dated. But the 7, you look at it. It doesn't look that bad. Like the interior materials, the use of the wood color, like everything looks like today's cars. Like it looks good.
Yeah,
So,
even the interface is like, back then people couldn't figure it out.
yeah.
But now you get that interface and you're like, oh, this all makes sense.
Yeah, it's like you go up for drive, navigation is off the. Yeah, it. BMW is always just a little too far ahead.
Yeah, I think this M240 is gonna be like that. It's gonna be like the Integra. It's one of these cars that people love to hate at first, and then you're gonna see you're wrong. And honestly, in this purple color, what do they call the color again? Night
Oof.
something.
It is called
Looks really good.
Thunder Midnight Metallic,
Thunder Mid.
$895.
Not even bad of a price jump for Metallic.
No.
Tesla's
No.
charging like 3K for
Three
premium.
grand, yeah. For mismatched panels and a
And
different
their
color.
paint is such low quality. You
You're
get
getting good
BMW paint
value.
for
Yeah.
800 bucks. Like,
You're
this
getting
isn't
good
worth
value
it.
here, all right?
It is really special. I think it is one of these cars that, okay, it's not cheap, but it can do it all. It can genuinely do it all.
57,000 Canadian to start for an M240.
Yeah. But everything's going up in price, right? 57, even like a mid-grade Lexus IS is there, and this is way more fun.
Oh,
And
yeah.
honestly, the back seat is no worse than an IS. I know it's a two-seater, it's harder to get into, but the back seat is no worse than an IS.
I try to sit in the back. I'm 5'11". I'm not like super tall, but like I was like fully head sideways sitting in the back. It definitely wasn't comfortable. But I was able to put my child seat in the back. I had my kid, my Oliver, in the back as along with my wife. We did go for a drive in this thing, and the entire family did fit, which I was actually surprised about. But she did complain the entire way because getting in and out was not easy.
Kind of low. The doors are obviously a little bit longer.
Long,
They're not
yeah.
that long though, compared to like a 4 series. And I
No.
think this looks better than the 4 series. Like the proportions are better.
I think so too. And the entire front end, I think I like this more than the 4 series.
Yeah. No, and you know what? It's just people believe what people tell them. And like one of the favorites of this category is the 1M, which it's an ugly car. Like
Yeah, 1M is pretty ugly.
people, 1M, the whole 1 series was ugly. The 1M is no better. Like it is cool. It is cool ugly, but it's ugly. Like it looks like someone took a 3 series and crashed into a wall because the front end got flattened, the back end got flattened, and the car is so wide and so short. But because popular culture tells you must like the 1M, if you're a legitimate car guy, you have no choice. You have to love the 1M. This is one of those where, everyone tells you should hate this car
Yeah.
because it's not a real M, and it looks awkward. It looks awkward in some angles, but be your own judge and I don't know. Honestly, in the right colors with the right spec, it looks pretty decent. I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah, I honestly like the entire week that I was driving it,
It
walking up
sounds
to
good
it.
too.
Oh, it sounded great. That B58. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even in comfort mode, it had a little bit of blah 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 blah.
Did yours have run flats? Or is
The
on
run
winters
it was
probably?
on Winters, but I don't know if they're run flats.
Okay.
They're Pirelli something.
Sort of zero.
I would assume they were as well, just because it's BMW.
Yeah.
They
'Cause there's no spare tire, to be fair.
I was actually surprised. In the trunk, like I thought under the floor there'll be something, but you can't even lift the floor up. There's like nothing.
You can lift the floor up,
I'm sure you
but
can, but like not by.
there's no tabs to lift the floor up. It's one of those really awkward things. And they move the fuse box off to the passenger side, so you don't even need to lift the floor up anymore. I think the battery's still there though. I think it's still under the
I'm not sure.
floor. 'Cause that's where it is in the Supra. Like the Supra, they don't want you to lift the trunk floor, but the battery's there.
I didn't look hard enough, that's for
Yeah,
sure. Because
fully
I
loaded at
was.
70 though, so it's,
Yeah,
I
this
don't think
one.
70 is that ridiculous. Like
No.
70 is with every, almost every option. Yeah, in 2022 dollars, 70 is not that ridiculous.
I'm gonna be honest, you don't want some of these options. There's this fish thing scales that's on the side on the door cards. That's $250, and that's $250 that you can save. You really don't need that. this because this press car was at 68,595, and it had like the better leather seats with the blue contrast stitching. That's 1500. The regular seats are completely fine. Like, there's a lot of stuff you don't need. Sunroof, for example. I know you hate it. It doesn't really enhance the experience overall. You
Yeah,
can
because
take
it's
that
too
off.
stubby.
Yeah.
But the problem with not having a sunroof is you don't even get comfort access. Because
Oh.
you can't have comfort access without the sunroof, from what I remember.
Oh.
Like it comes as part of those packages.
The premium package.
Yeah, and comfort access is not like available as a standalone. And all of the packages have sunroof in it, so kind of sucks. Like that was one of the selling features. So I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but I wouldn't have, because I sold the M2
Yeah, you
after
didn't
last
mention
week's
it.
podcast.
That was
So
after.
actually, yeah, I wouldn't have mentioned it, but I sold the M2 for very good price. And yeah, that was kind of the appeal, was that one, it's a manual; two, it has no sunroof. So it's one of these more timeless specs that 20 years down the road, this is gonna be attractive to a buyer, because there's just less stuff to break. But it still has comfort access because the M2's had it, across the board. Yeah.
I can't imagine a BMW without comfort access. Like, how much of
I
a
mean, I
plan?
had an F30 without comfort access, and yeah, it was sad.
Like,
Like,
how much of a pleb do you have to be to take out your BMW key, press the unlock, go inside?
I
Would
can't imagine buying a new car in 2022 and not having comfort access. Like, that is a new anything. I wouldn't have a Yaris. Like, well, they don't make those anymore, but I wouldn't have a like that level of car. I still expect to have comfort access.
Would it did it have the start stop though?
Push button. Yeah, they all have push
Okay,
button start.
because that's like my base 2016 or so Mazda CX-3 that we bought was the same thing. You had to just unlock with the key, but there was a push to start.
Yeah.
But yeah, comfort access, which is walking up to the door, it's detecting your key. You can just put your hand in the door, it unlocks. It makes life so much easier.
It
My
does.
brother-in-law's like 2010 Honda, or not Honda, Mazda Speed 3 has it. And he was like, whoa, this is like so cool. I'm like, yeah, walk away from the car. It auto locks. Like,
Does Does Zabaza do that?
Yeah.
Oh, but a lot of cars don't do that.
A lot of cars don't.
Don't if you have this feature, don't just walk away from your car. Make sure they're locked. Because I had the first car I had was the Venza that had it. And yeah, actually I did look into this because when I bought the RAV4, the base model, the LE, doesn't have this feature. The XLE does, and the XLE is only 2 grand more. You get so much more for it. Don't buy an LE. But I thought about it because I looked at used LE prices. I'm like, that is the best investment because the LE will depreciate the absolute least. Because when it comes time to sell it 4 or 5 years down the road, the LE is not going to be worth significantly less than an XLE. But man, I would not live without that for 2 grand because you get so much for that 2 grand.
I think on the RAV4. Oh no, never mind. Because there are some vehicles out there, if you don't have the key part, you don't get the start stop. You still have to put it into ignition and then
Oh yeah,
start it.
no. The base RAV4 is still a key. You still have to turn it.
Oh, good.
It's very base feeling. And that key weighs nothing too. It was one of the cheapest feeling keys ever.
Perfect.
So you have to get the upgrade. I was gonna say also the Honda one drives me nuts. The one on the Type R, I've been yanking on the door handle so many times. Like I've just been because I'll walk up to it and I'll press the circle button by accident. And
Oh.
there's a little push button on it.
Oh, on the 10th gen. Yes.
Yeah, and what happens is I press that and it locks the doors and it won't let me unlock it. It times me out basically. It
Yeah.
won't let me unlock it. So I'm because my Ford had the button where you that button does both lock and unlock, which I never had any issue with because you grab the door, press the button, it unlocks. But this one, no. Lock is a button, unlock is pull. And
The back of the door handle.
yeah, and it's just it's so and it auto locks, but also when it auto locks, it goes at you and it's like I hate it. I hate Honda electronics. Like everything about
Well,
the electronics on that car, I absolutely hate.
the good news is for the 11th gen, they made it better. It's no longer a button. Back of the door handle to unlock. To lock it, it's like a Subaru or the BRZ or Toyota ones, where it's like there's like a three lines on the door handle, and you just tap that and it locks. It's more sensible that way, let's be honest.
Yeah, because like that's how my 2010 Prius was set up. And the new RAV4 is the same. Like there's no issues with that. Honda just like they do their own thing sometimes and they make some of the worst cars because of it. I hate that car because of it.
The 11th gen also has the walk away to lock feature, so you can just walk away and it automatically locks for you.
I have
So,
that too on the 10th gen.
oh really?
It does. So that's what I
Oh.
mean. You walk away, it goes and then it flashes and you don't know if it locked or not, but if you walk up to it you pull it then. So no
It
matter what, I just press the lock button just to be safe because I know which one lock is. It's the top button. I lock it just to be safe. But I don't know why it does that. I don't know if it's broken. Like there's a lot with that car that's like sort of broken electronically
And you
that
try to
like
sell it to me?
oh yeah, if anyone wants to take over a lease on a 2021 car, do I have a polished metal metallic example with under 13,000 K on it.
Works perfectly, right?
Works perfectly. It works as designed, you know, because this is honestly it's already better than the 2017. I'll tell you that. Like the head unit, as crappy as it is, it's already better than the original one. It has a volume knob now. It's a little bit faster. It's not very fast. Like you have to wait a long time to hear your radio, and even longer if you want to change your source. You
How
know,
much is it a month for the lease?
it's very cheap. That's the appeal. Because I traded in the 2017 for it, rolled in some positive equity. It's only 330 bi-weekly tax in.
Oh.
It's very affordable, but there is a big fee to take over this lease.
All right, how about this? I'll take it over. $400 a month is what I'll pay. You just pay the residual, the rest. Does it sound fair? I think it sounds pretty fair.
Yeah, no.
No? All right.
Yeah. But
Well,
it is still one of the best driving cars that you could that money can buy. Like,
best driving front-wheel drive car?
I think by some margin it is. It is an
In
amazing.
that's available in Canada. I should state that.
I don't even think that because like there's probably faster ones, like those Club Sport Meganes
Yeah.
or GTIs and stuff. They're probably faster. They don't drive better. Like all the reviews will tell you that, you know, if you want actual feel, steering feel, shifter feel, pedal feel, the Type R does it all.
The
And
Revo Knuckle.
it's the most practical. That's, you know, it's got a huge trunk and back
It
seat.
is a very practical car. It is a very practical car.
Yeah,
I
it's
mean,
a great car. It's just it's not for me. I find I don't need something like that. That it's not even a jack of all trades. I think that's doing a disservice to say it's a jack of all trades. But for me, the big resistance I have to it is one, the electronics. Two is the sound, because I just don't think it's a good sounding engine. No matter what exhaust, downpipe, intake you put on it, it just they're all just buzzy and like not pleasant sounding engines, because there's nice sounding 2 liter turbos out there. This is not one of them. Yeah.
if anyone's worried about fuel economy on the Type R, I was able to hypermile an Integra Type R. I drove from UBC back home when I was living
Pacific
in
Type R.
Civic Type R. What did I say? Integra?
Integra Type
Yeah, whatever,
R.
same thing. I hypermiled the from UBC, so like West Vancouver West Side, all the way back to Burnaby South. I average under 8 liters for 100 kilometers. It was 7 point something. It was high
Yeah.
sevens, but 7 point something in an Integra. Said it
You
again.
almost said
Civic
it again.
Type R is pretty good.
It is pretty good because even if you don't try, you get sub 10. It is solid because I don't know, it's one of these cars that doesn't push you to drive that fast, and when you're chill, it's just fine. But I think the going back to the Integra, it will have the same problem where it just doesn't sound good.
Oh,
Because
the
I drove the
1.5? No.
SI, and it doesn't sound good.
No,
It
the
doesn't sound
1.5.
worse. It definitely doesn't sound worse than a Type R.
No, it
But
definitely
it
doesn't.
doesn't sound good either.
Yeah. And I think that's really it for this week. Anything else you want to add on?
Nope. Catch you guys next week.
Thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you next week. Take care, guys.